Amen. When I come to die, give me Jesus. And that is the cry of every Christian. Well, good evening. What a joy it is to be with you tonight. If you don't mind, grab a Bible and open up to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Maybe stick the Bible's ribbon there or a piece of paper to mark your spot, because that's where we'll be not only tonight, but Lord willing, the next several nights. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let me just read our passage for us tonight, and then we'll pray one more time, and then we'll dive in together. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Paul says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Amen. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Let's go to the Lord in prayer again. Father, we need you. We need your Spirit to understand your word. Father, I need your Spirit to proclaim your word clearly and boldly. And Father, we need you to work in our hearts, and as Pastor David said, to sanctify us in the truth. Father, if there is anyone here who does not know you, I pray that your word would be just so sharp that it would be convicting on their hearts to turn from sin and trust in Christ. And Father, for those of us who do trust in you, I pray your word would be life to us, that it would stir our affections for Jesus, and that we would leave here not just better equipped, but emboldened to live for Christ, to pour out our life for him as we prepare for our final day. Father, we ask all this in the only name that can save, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, one of the great privileges of being a pastor is that you often get a glimpse into a family's life, into their joys and their sufferings, and you get to see what God is doing in ways that the normal church member doesn't get an opportunity to see. I had the great privilege several months ago of visiting the husband of one of our church members who he was in the hospital and he was dying. And praise God, the Lord used those last days to open his eyes to the reality that he would face the Lord. And he knew then he wasn't right with the Lord. Now, praise God, he came to saving faith in those last days. But while I was visiting him one evening, every few minutes, he would look at his wife, and he would say, "I love you." And then he'd look over to his son, and he would say, "Son, I love you." And it wasn't until after he passed when I talked with the family, and they all said, "You know, he never said that before." Now, I think partly that's because he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, right, and the love of Christ. But it's also because in his last days, when he got sick and realized the end was near, it brought clarity. The reality of death will do that. When we come face to face with the end of our life, that has a way of sharpening our focus. The things we say, the things we think about seem to carry a lot more weight in our last days. Well, the book of 2 Timothy is Paul's last words to Timothy. 2 Timothy, it's a letter written by Paul while Paul was in prison. And he wrote this letter to the young pastor Timothy, someone Paul considered a child in the faith. Paul had poured his life into Timothy and had discipled him along the way. And so as Paul writes this letter, We're going to look at a portion of it the next few days. Paul knows the end of his life is near. And he gives Timothy some of his last words. In fact, when we get to this chapter in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul's giving a powerful charge to young pastor Timothy. And he says, preach the word in season and out of season. Paul tells them, when people have itching ears to hear what they want to hear, when people refuse to listen to you, when people wander off to listen to false teachers, keep preaching the word. And then Paul says, if you look, you can look there with me in verse 5, as for you, Timothy, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. And then we come to the verse that we're gonna focus on tonight in verse 6, where he says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. Paul says, Timothy, I'm about to die. He says, I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. I am ready for that last day. So, Timothy, fulfill your ministry so that you will be ready when your departure comes. Lord willing, as Pastor David's already said, we're going to spend the next few nights considering these verses 6 through 8, and we're going to ask ourselves the question, are we ready? Amen. That Christ may come back, but if he tarries, we will die. Are we ready for that day? And the reality that this passage forced Timothy to face and forces us to face is that unless the Lord comes back, we are all going to die. Amen. And how can we be ready for that day? Paul was a man who was ready to die. When Paul was certain that he was facing death, he maintained a joy and a hope that only can come from Christ. How can we have that joy and hope? So we're going to look tonight at just verse 6. And Paul gives us two images to talk about his last days. The first image is that of a drink offering that's being poured out on a sacrifice. His life is poured out like a drink offering. The second image that he gives us is like a ship departing from harbor, or like a soldier who's packed up his stuff and he's departing the battlefield to go home. And we're going to consider, as we look at those two images, this question. How can we live today, tonight, as we leave here and go home, tomorrow? How can we live right now so that our departure is joyful and sweet? Look again at verse 6 with me. Paul says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering. Paul says his life is already being poured out as a drink offering. In the Old Testament, the drink offering always came along with the sacrifices. So sometimes a drink offering would come at the beginning of a sacrifice, but then always at the conclusion of a sacrifice, they would pour a drink offering of wine over the altar. So it's how you finished a sacrifice to the Lord. Was a drink offering poured on the altar before the Lord. And so Paul, he pictures his life and his ministry as an offering, as a sacrifice to the Lord. And his last days are that last step of the sacrifice, where the drink offering is finally poured out. But this isn't the first time that Paul has said this. In fact, Paul tells the Philippians, in Philippians chapter 2, if you want to turn there, you're welcome to. I'll read it for us. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul talks about this same thing. Paul is telling the Philippians, hold to the word of life, keep the faith, even in suffering. And then this is what he says in Philippians 2:17. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Paul was in prison when he wrote that letter to the Philippians. This was an earlier time Paul was in prison, and he wasn't sure then if his life would end in prison or not. But he was ready. Even if my life is poured out as a drink offering, I will be glad and rejoice, he says. He was prepared not just in his last days, but in his whole Christian life. He was prepared to be poured out as a drink offering to the Lord. And when we come here to 2 Timothy, Paul now knows that his time is short. He's already, he says, being poured out, and he is ready. My friends, we don't know when that day will come for us. It is closer for some of us than others, but only the Lord knows that. But to be ready for that day, we need to follow Paul's example and pour out our lives for Christ. Let our lives be an offering for the Lord until the very last drop of our cup is poured out. My kids are young, and so everywhere we go, they bring their little drink cups with them. And it never fails that they have their drink cups for about 30 seconds, and they come up to mom or dad, and they say, "Can I have more? Right? Well, I need more water or more juice in my cup. Will you fill my cup?" And our answer is always the same in those moments. You still have some left. Finish what is there. Tonight, since you are here and you are still alive, finish what is there. Pour out. There is more left in your cup, more opportunity to pour out your life for Christ. Amen. Don't give up with juice left in the cup. So then tonight, what does it mean to pour out our lives for Christ like Paul? What can we learn from Paul's testimony here and Paul's example to be ready for our final departure? Well, I'm sure there are more ways that Paul poured out his life, but I'd like tonight just to highlight four ways that Paul and ourselves can pour out our lives for Christ. Number one, Paul poured out his life by believing the gospel. Paul poured out his life by believing the gospel. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Maybe you'll flip there with me. At the beginning of this letter that we're looking at, notice Paul's his zeal for the good news of Jesus and believing that. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 8. When Paul tells Timothy, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began." Do you remember Paul's story? Paul was on the road to Damascus, absolutely bent on persecuting Christians, on ending this new way. And God met him there. God blinded Paul's physical eyes, but he opened his spiritual eyes. And he saved his life. And since that point, when God saved him, and called him to a holy calling, not because of anything Paul had done, but because of God's own purpose and his grace. Since that point, Paul will not, by any means, let go of that gospel, no matter the cost to him. If you look down in verse 12 of chapter 1, Paul goes on and he says, I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, he says, for I know whom I have believed. And I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Paul was a new man by the good news of Jesus Christ. He knew whom he had believed. Tonight, do you know in whom you have believed? Amen. Without the grace of God in the gospel towards Paul, there would be no pouring out his life for Christ, and there would be no joy in his departure from life. And the same is true for us. My friends, if you are here tonight and you have not trusted in the gospel, the good news that God is holy, that we are sinful, that Christ came into the world to save sinners like us by living a sinless life, dying a death we deserve to die, by rising from the dead, offering forgiveness of sins for all who turn from sin and trust in Him. If that is not the gospel that you believe in, when your final day comes, you will stand before God. And if you are not standing on the rock of Christ, you will have nothing to stand on. Tonight, turn from your sin and trust in Jesus. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel, and thus he poured out his life for Christ. We ought to do the same. Believe the gospel. Number two, Paul poured out his life by guarding the gospel. By guarding the gospel. Listen again to chapter 1, verse 13. This is right after Paul tells Timothy that he was not ashamed of the gospel. And then he says this in chapter 1, verse 13. He tells Timothy, follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Guard the good deposit entrusted to you. That gospel that had changed Paul's life, that he and Timothy believed, they thought of that message and what they had in that message about Christ as a treasure. It was, as Paul says, a good deposit. And if the gospel is a treasure, then they were to be good stewards of that treasure. They were to guard it. They were to keep it. They were to believe it. They were to hold on to it, use it wisely, and they were to be generous with it. If they carried with them the treasure of the gospel, they were to live in a way that put that treasure, the glory of our Savior, on fullest display. Christians, you don't have to be a pastor to be a good steward of the gospel. You simply have to treasure the gospel and then live in a way that demonstrates your belief in the gospel. You remember Christ's parable. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. See, that man, he knew the worth of the treasure he had found. And so he was willing to give up everything for it. He was willing to pour out his life for it. Tonight, do we realize the treasure we have in the gospel? That we have hope. That we have eternal life, that we have joy, peace with God, that we've been shown grace, forgiveness of our sins, redemption. Are we being good stewards of that treasure? You know, if you want to pour out your life as an offering to the Lord, how are you reflecting the gospel in your home, with your spouse and your children, or grandchildren? How are you reflecting the gospel? How are you showing people the treasure of the gospel in your workplace or school or at the grocery store? Are we living a life of faith in the Lord? Are we sharing the gospel because we treasure it so much? And if we see the good news of Jesus like the pearl of great price that it is, we will guard it with our lives by the way we live and by the way we talk about Jesus. Pour out your life by guarding the treasure of the gospel. Number three, Paul poured out his life by suffering for the gospel. Paul poured out his life by suffering for the gospel. I count 6 times that Paul specifically mentions suffering for Christ in these 4 short chapters of 2 Timothy. And just so we feel the weight of it, I want to just briefly run through those and highlight those for you. So if you're ready to turn some pages, follow along with me. Otherwise, just listen intently. Listen to what Paul says about suffering. Chapter 1, verse 8. Paul tells Timothy, "Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." Then down in verse 11, Paul says, "I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher." Verse 12, "which is why I suffer as I do, but I am not ashamed." Chapter 2, verse 3, Paul gives instructions to Timothy. He says, "Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." In chapter 2, verse 8, Paul says, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound." Then you might look at chapter 3, verse 11. He tells Timothy, "You have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness." Verse 11, "my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." And finally, just before our passage and our verse for tonight, in chapter 4, verse 5, Paul tells Timothy, "As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering." You get the point. Paul was a man of suffering. So when Paul says his life is already being poured out as a drink offering, he has experienced that sacrifice. He has suffered greatly for the gospel. There's a well-known passage in 2 Corinthians 11 where Paul seems to list some of his sufferings. This is what he says. Just listen along. Chapter 11, verse 24. Paul says, "5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. In toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there's the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches." Paul knew suffering. Why would he do that? He could give up the whole gospel thing, the whole ministry. He could go back home. He could live in peace and rest the rest of his days. But he didn't. He suffered again and again and again and again. And he kept preaching the gospel and kept believing the gospel and kept discipling Timothy. Why? The answer is because Paul was willing to pour out his life now for something greater than. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is what it says in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, verse 7. Paul says, but we have this treasure. That's the gospel, right? The good news that he believed that saved him. We have this treasure in jars of clay. Our weak bodies. He says, why? To show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. And we skip down to verse 16, and Paul says this. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Why? How can Paul be suffering and persecuted and beaten and flogged and his inner self is being renewed? Here's the answer. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. There was something better coming. Paul would rather suffer and die, but cling to the treasure of the gospel than to give up the gospel, live comfortably, and miss out on an eternal weight of glory. Church, some of you are suffering. I don't know all the specifics. I don't know how it might be affecting you. The Lord knows those things. Hold on to the treasure of the gospel. Allow yourself to be poured out for Christ. You will not always understand. Perplexed, he says, but not driven to despair. It will bring you to the end of yourself, but it will be Christ in you that shines forth. If you do that, if you cling to that treasure, you will taste of his comfort and his peace and his joy now, but you will feast then. Pour out your life by suffering for the gospel. Perhaps you've heard the story of Jim Elliot. Right? Jim Elliot was a missionary to a violent tribe in Ecuador. And he and a few other men finally reached this tribe after many years. They share the gospel with this tribe. All five of the men were speared to death. But not long after his death, his wife Elizabeth and his daughter, along with some other family members of the other men who had died, went to that very tribe and shared the gospel again. And many came to faith. Why would they do that? Elizabeth Elliot gave up her husband and her safety to go right back to the ones who murdered him to give them the gospel. That's because she knew the treasure she had in the gospel. A treasure even greater than the treasure of her own husband. She knew they need this gospel. And she sacrificed all of that. And the Lord used it. Well, before he died, Jim Elliot said this. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. If you are suffering, keep believing. Keep trusting. And finally, number four, Paul poured out his life by loving the church. Paul poured out his life by loving the church. If we go back to Philippians, when Paul is saying these very similar words that we read just a minute ago, Paul is writing to the Philippians and telling them to hold on to the gospel. And remember what we just read, Philippians 2, verse 17. He says, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Paul poured out his life, not just for his own sake, but for the sake of the church, for the sake of other believers. He says earlier in that letter in Philippians, he says, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. So Paul poured out his life by loving Christ's bride, by giving of himself for the church, because Jesus Christ gave himself for the sake of the church. Tonight, if you are looking to make your life count, to use your time wisely, to pour yourself out for Christ, spend it for the sake of the church. Christ died to save a people, to create a family. And so for believers, brothers and sisters in Christ is your eternal family. Love them well now, so that loving them will be a joy in eternity. Pour yourself out for the good of each other's faith. Be concerned with if you trust the Lord. Be also concerned if the one sitting next to you trusts the Lord. Be concerned with your church. Love your church. Which means being a part of being ready for the final day is actually coming to church. Getting to know fellow church members. Being discipled by them and discipling them. We walk this life together. We pour out our lives together. Paul was poured out as a drink offering. Is our life being poured out as an offering to the Lord? And having poured out his life, Paul says the last image as we bring this verse to a close. He says, and the time of my departure has come. The time of my departure has come. There are two things I think we should notice here. The first is that Paul says the time of his departure has come. We don't always get to know the time. God knows. Sometimes we're privileged to know that we are at our last days, that our days are short. Other times, we never will know. But if you're a Christian tonight, if you trust in Jesus, take heart in the fact that God knows the time. He knew your every step before you were ever born, and he is faithful to keep you close to him. So don't worry about the time. Trust in the Lord in the time and pour out your life for Christ today. And if you're not a believer, since only God knows the time of our departure, it makes this message all the more urgent. Do not wait to repent of your sins and trust in the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. And when you trust in him, you will experience the joy of pouring out your life for the Lord. The second thing and final thing to notice is the word departure. The time of my departure has come. Departure implies a destination. The word is used for a ship leaving harbor. It's on its way to a specific place. Or the word can be used for a soldier in battle whose time in war is over. And he's packed up all his stuff, he's departing from the battlefield, and he's going home. Scripture is clear, friends. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. For those who trust in Christ. That destination is a place of rest. when the fight to keep the faith will be over. And all those who by the grace of God have poured out their life for Christ, they will hear from the Lord, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Scripture says, when Christ returns, a voice from the throne will say, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." The gospel, the treasure that we have now is in jars of clay. We are brittle. We are easily broken. It is hard at times to keep the faith. But when our departure comes, if we've poured out our life for Christ, we will see him face to face. The treasure that we have longed for will be right in front of us. And church, if that is true of our departure, then let's pour out our lives for Christ now. May our lives be an offering for the Lord, knowing that glory awaits us. Keep believing the gospel. Keep reflecting the gospel in your life. Keep believing in the gospel, even in suffering. And keep loving the family of God. And we will trust the Lord will keep us until our departure has come. We're going to sing in a moment. The reason Christians sing is because we are people of joy, people of hope. And we have a blessed assurance. Let's cling to that. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would strengthen us by your grace. Father, you have saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of anything that we've done, but because of your own purpose and grace. And Father, we depend on you to keep us close to you until the time of our departure has come. Father, may we pour out our lives for Christ by believing the good news of what he's done for us, by suffering for the gospel, by living lives that demonstrate the treasure we have in Christ, and by loving one another well. Father, I pray your word would sanctify us tonight. And if there's anyone here who does not know you, who does not have this treasure, we pray that it would be so clear that you would open their eyes, that they too could have joy when their departure comes. Father, we look forward to that day when Christ returns in all of his glory, when he makes all things new. Father, we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.